I really enjoy fruit, which used to cause Daryl a bit of grief. Because you see, I'll be eating it in my office while I'm studying. And then without thinking about it, you know, I just throw the peel or the core in the trash can behind me and forget about it. And this, of course, causes smells and fruit flies and other insects, which Daryl had to deal with, and he always made sure I was aware of it. And I know some of you through the years, you've given me tips on how to deal with the fruit flies, but I think I'm just going to start treating them as pets. Maybe even name them. There goes Sergeant Flutter, and oh, hey, there's Marty McFly. And anyway, we're in the middle of our series here on the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5. Now, in our text, the Apostle Paul, he was talking about these two different guidance systems that will lead our lives in different directions. The flesh and the spirit. Now, being led by the flesh, that's following human thinking and standards and going by what our flesh wants to do. Being guided and being led by the spirit, on the other hand, that's following God's thinking and his standards and doing what he wants us to do. And Paul, he told us how we can know what someone is giving into and what they're being led by their actions. See, the deeds of the flesh or the fruit of the Spirit. Now, if you want to get more background on that passage, I'd encourage you to go back and listen to the first one. Well, I was talking to Laura last week after the sermon, and she said that this is the way she likes to look at it. What is in fruit? Well, a seed or seeds. And so in this fruit that we produce, we are planting seeds. And so that's a good way to look at it. Okay, last week we talked about peace. Our next one is patience. Now, my family had something happen this last week, which I think is going to help us practice and work on our patience. While the kids and I were at camp during that great storm, this tree fell on our house, causing quite a bit of damage and, well, scaring my wife half to death, who was there alone. Well, among other things, I'm sad because I really liked that tree. And it shaded our house in the summer and things like that. But here's a picture of them removing it. And here's what it looks like on the inside. And I don't know how, but my daughter's fish somehow survived that. So, okay, what are we talking about with this aspect of the fruit of the Spirit? The Oxford Dictionary defines patience as the capacity to accept or tolerate delay, trouble, or suffering without getting angry or upset. As has been said, patience is not the ability to wait, but the ability to keep a good attitude while waiting. Now, looking at the New Testament, there are two words in the Greek for patience, and one, it's dealing with difficult people, which is found 25 times in its various forms. That's the word we find in Galatians 5. Now, the other is dealing with difficult situations, which is found 49 times in its various forms. And it's always possible that I miss some. Well, Christians, they're obviously to exhibit both of them. Are you a patient person? Maybe we ought to ask your spouse or your children what they think about that. Patience is something we could probably all work on, at least in some area. I mean, most of us, you know, we're not born with this quality. When a baby wakes up in the middle of the night and is hungry or uncomfortable, what do they think? You know, my parents are tired from all that they did today, mostly for me. And so, you know, I'll just be patient. And I'll just wait for a more convenient time to let them know that I need something to eat or my diaper changed, right? And so we're not born with it. And it doesn't help that we live in what has been called a fast food society. We like speed, we like efficiency, we like immediate gratification. I read that back in 2006, a website taking 4 seconds to load was considered acceptable. Now today, if it takes longer than 1 second, oh, we're on the phone complaining to our internet service provider. When I was a kid, you had to ride your bike to the Blockbuster Video to get a movie. Now you just stream it instantly on your TV or your cell phone. There's this old Calvin and Hobbes comic strip where his father is sitting at a computer and saying, "It used to be that if a client wanted something done in a week, it was considered a rush job, and he would be lucky to get it. Now, with modems, faxes, and car phones, everybody wants everything instantly. Improved technology just increases expectations. These machines don't make life easier, they make life more harassed." Well, about that time, Calvin walks by looking at a TV dinner. "6 minutes to microwave this? Who's got that kind of time?" Now, I mentioned before, and I don't know if it's still around, but I remember reading about this church in Florida that advertises 22-minute worship services. They promise that in 22 minutes, it'll be over and you'll be out of there. And the sermons, they're limited to 8 minutes. Don't get your hopes up. Anyway, patience is difficult to develop because it's contrary to our culture. Now, you go to a third world country today, you find that they are much more laid back. They probably wonder, what's the deal? You know, why we're so uptight? We're always on this fast track and in this rat race. And so these expectations that come from our culture, well, it often causes our responses to be with frustration and aggravation and exasperation, as we feel the value of every second pressing on us. So I want to spend some time talking about this very difficult and yet very important quality. Now, one question we need to answer is, in what areas are we to have patience? And I think there are four of them. First, we are to have patience with ourselves. Sometimes I wonder if we're harder on ourselves than God is. See, some people, they're always beating themselves up. And some people get so frustrated that they're not where they want to be in their Christianity that they just give up. I know of some people who have quit coming to church because they said it was just too hard. As the saying goes, change is a process, not an event. Christianity is the process of changing from looking like the world to looking like Christ. Romans 8:29, 2 Corinthians 3:18, and so forth. It does not happen overnight. A Christian is someone who is not perfect, but who is forgiven, and is now striving to become more like Jesus. The Apostle John said, "If we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." You see, even the apostles, see, they were not sinless. And so we need to have patience and should not be overly critical of ourselves when we fall short. But neither are we to become complacent and stop growing. See, some people, they're obviously not hard enough on themselves. You know, the New Testament has very harsh words for those who are they're not growing in their Christianity. For example, 1 Corinthians 3:1-3, Hebrews 5:11-14. So there's a balance. Okay, next, we're to have patience with our fellow Christians. The New Testament word that's speaking of patience with respect to other people, it literally means long temper. You know, sometimes you'll find it translated as long suffering. You see, you suffer long before you react. And so simply put, it's having tolerance and putting up with people. So as I mentioned last week, the problem with our church family and with our physical families is that they're made up of people. And we can and do at times rub each other the wrong way. I'm going to irritate you, and you're going to irritate me. Sometimes I'm a pain. You know, sometimes I'm slow. None of us are a treat to be around all the time. And so we must learn to have long fuses and be patient with one another. See, with some people, it's always like walking on eggshells or treading on thin ice around them. But that's not the way Christians are to be. Now listen to what Paul said to the church at Ephesus. "Therefore I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." See, in order for there to be unity, well, there needs to be a lot of patience and tolerance. The worldly reaction is anger, resentment, bitter words, maybe even blows. But those who have this quality of patience when they're wronged or when they're irritated, okay, they have the power to just let them have it in one way or another, but they don't. Patience, it's not a sign of defeat or being a pushover, as some people think. No, it's rather a sign of victory and strength, because it's easy to get upset and be short with someone. I mean, anyone can do that. But patience, it takes a lot of self-control. We're also to have patience with those who are not our brethren. 1 Thessalonians 5:14 through 15, it says, "We urge you, brethren, admonish the unruly, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with everyone. See that no one repays another with evil for evil, but always seek after that which is good for one another and for all people." Now, from what I've read, Abraham Lincoln was a good example of patience with others. So here's one of the things that I found written about him. A member of Lincoln's cabinet who frequently disagreed with him about his policies was Secretary Stanton, a man of very pronounced views. One day, President Lincoln sent a message of state to Secretary Stanton by a page. On reading the message, Secretary Stanton, using violent language as he tore up the message, said, "President Lincoln is a fool." Returning to the president, the page told him what Secretary Stanton had said concerning his message and the president himself. Instead of becoming angry, the president, after a moment's thought, said with a grin, "Well, perhaps Secretary Stanton is right." Now, we definitely need patience when others are bothering us or mistreating us. I mean, Christians are supposed to treat people better than they deserve, but we also need patience when trying to teach them. You see, the goal for the non-Christian is that they will become a Christian. In 2 Timothy 4:2, the Apostle Paul told Timothy, "Preach the word, be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction." Very few people accept the gospel. And for some, it takes a long time for them to come around to accepting it. You see, we're often very quick to give up on people and to just write them off. But what about God? 2 Peter 3:9, "The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance." So God puts up with all the terrible ways that people treat him because they may someday repent. 2 Timothy 2, 24 and 25. "The Lord's bondservant must not be quarrelsome, but be kind to all, able to teach, patient when wronged, with gentleness correcting those who are in opposition." And this, of course, would also apply to those who are new Christians. See, with gentleness, we need to patiently show them the way. Because if we're too harsh with them, or we lose our temper with them, or we just give up on them, they could leave and never come back. And you think of a baby. You don't treat a baby the same way as you treat a teenager. And then we are to have patience with our difficult circumstances, like the rising price of gas or a tree falling on your house. You know, we all need to ask, am I easily set off when things are difficult or they don't go my way? Or am I able to be patient, to keep a godly disposition in the face of life's irritations? Now, some people today, they teach the gospel of health and wealth, sometimes called prosperity theology. And it promises that living for Christ will turn this world into a bed of roses. It's the idea that if you're a faithful Christian, God will bless you with health, security, and prosperity. But the scriptures, they certainly don't teach that. They teach that this is a cursed earth and bad things are supposed to happen, even to God's people. Every character in the Bible went through difficulties. At times, it's going to get pretty rough. The question is, how are we going to respond during those times? Will we respond with patience or with frustration or worse? You know, in the list of the deeds of the flesh there, in Galatians 5, can you remember what's in there? outbursts of anger. You know, this is exploding with angry actions and words when things don't go our way. Many people are ruled by their feelings. They can't seem to control their anger. Now, as you know, some adults, they still throw temper tantrums. So we need to learn to think. We need to learn to talk through our problems instead of, you know, rather than losing control by yelling and slamming doors and punching walls and throwing things and kicking the cat and attacking people and so forth. We've got to discipline ourselves in our responses to the frustrations of life, which we're all going to have. Ecclesiastes 7, 8 and 9. The end of a matter is better than its beginning. Patience of spirit is better than haughtiness of spirit. Do not be eager in your heart to be angry, for anger resides in the bosom of fools. And Proverbs 14, 29. He who is slow to anger has great understanding, but he who is quick-tempered exalts folly. It can sure get us in a lot of trouble. As the saying goes, a moment of patience in a moment of anger can save you 100 moments of regret. So how can we develop patience? I want to just give you 5 quick suggestions that might help. One way, I think, is by realizing that we are going to go through difficulties. And people are going to let us down. And so foreknowledge can help. Life isn't fair. And no one is perfect. We are all going to let down and be let down from time to time, even by those close to us. So I think realizing that beforehand, it can, you know, having that knowledge can help us deal with it in a more Christ-like way when it comes. You're not taken off guard, you see. Just expect it. Now, another way is by simply going through difficulties and exercising it. It takes practice. The story is told of a young Christian who, he went to an older Christian for help, and he said, "Will you please pray for me that I may be more patient?" And so they knelt down together, and the older Christian began to pray. "Lord, send this young man tribulation in the morning. Send this young man tribulation in the afternoon. Send this young man..." And at that point, the young Christian blurted out, No, I didn't ask you to pray for tribulation. I wanted you to pray for patience." "Ah," said the older, wiser Christian, "it's through tribulation that we learn patience. James 1, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance." Now, that's one of those two words for patience. And you notice some versions will translate it as that. All right, well, another way is to look at the example of Jesus, since he's to be our model. Now, one thing we do is look at how he dealt with interruptions. For example, Mark chapter 5, he went to the country of the Gerasenes, and as soon as he got out of the boat, this, you know, demon-possessed man comes running up to him, and he's got to deal with that. But then the people there, they told him that they didn't want him and that he needs to go away. And so he had to get back into the boat, and he went to the other side. Well, when he gets there, well, a huge crowd is there. And a man named Jairus wants him to go and heal his daughter. And so, he's off with Jairus. But then as they're going, this woman with a hemorrhage touches him, and boy, he's distracted from his distractions, and it just keeps going on and on. He's interrupted from his interruptions. But you notice that he is always so patient and thoughtful of others and their feelings. Now, on top of that, we can look at the great patience that Jesus had with his disciples, who just didn't get it at times. We can look at the patience that he had with those who were caught in sin but wanted out. We can even look at the patience that he had with those who were crucifying him and who rejected him. And so here's a question. Did Jesus ever lose control and hit someone? Could you ever call Jesus enough names to make him attack you? He could have called down fire from heaven. And he could have summoned 72,000 angels, as he said in Matthew 26. 1 Peter 2:23, it says of Jesus' suffering, "And while being reviled, he did not revile in return. While suffering, he uttered no threats, but kept entrusting himself to him who judges righteously." You know, there are many times where we find that he was silent while all kinds of false accusations and ridicule were being thrown at him. Okay, another way is to remember that this world is not our home. Now, James put it like this. Be patient, therefore, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. Behold, the farmer waits for the precious produce of the soil, being patient about it, until it gets the early and late rains. You too, be patient. Strengthen your hearts. But the coming of the Lord is at hand. And so every Christian is to live in the hope of Christ's return. If we're convinced that this life is short, and that our Lord is going to set things right concerning those who mistreat us and everything else, well, we've got a stimulus to hold out and to not react by losing hope or retaliating or something like that. And so the coming of the Lord is a motivation for Christians to endure whatever comes our way and to be patient until the day of his return. And so James, he offered the illustration here of the dry land farmer who's got to wait for his harvest. And the farmer obviously doesn't expect his harvest on the day that he plants. Well, he's got to work a few months before he receives that fruit of his labor. And it may be difficult. And he may, sure enough, suffer several setbacks or disappointments before the harvest comes in. He's fighting the weather and the weeds and the birds and the bugs. But he doesn't plow up his field in anger or fire all the help or give up simply because things get difficult and they don't go exactly the way he wants. If the farmer is to reap the fruit of his labor, he must exercise patience. And so he waits for both the early and the late rains that provide what's needed for his crop. He patiently waits for the proper time. And for us, you see, any difficulty that we might go through, any mistreatment that we receive, we shouldn't let it take us off track. We can't allow suffering to provoke us to wrath toward others or to giving up on God. And so we need to, according to James, strengthen our hearts. And that's not talking about doing more cardio in the gym, although I think more Americans probably ought to be doing that as well. But it means to strengthen our minds and to endure whatever trouble comes our way. You know, we need to have a fixed purpose and to hold to that no matter what, like the farmer. See, Christians are to be stout-hearted, not faint-hearted. And so James believed that if we could find this kind of strength of heart, well, we could if we realized that the coming of the Lord is at hand. Now, to be at hand means that it could, you know, he might come at any moment. You know, when Jesus spoke of his return in Matthew 24, I believe that he taught that we could expect it at any time after the fall of Jerusalem. And so every generation of Christian needs to be, you know, they need to be on the alert. They need to be watchful for his return. See, his coming, it's always at hand. Now, on top of that, we never know when our personal lives will be over. And last but not least, we can pray and ask God to help us when we start to feel impatient and we start to feel irritable. See, some people, they tell you to count to 10, do some deep breathing exercises, get some fresh air and sunlight, and eat some dark chocolate. And that's not bad. I do those things, you know. I do those things sometimes. But I think it's better to take a moment to ask God for help. Now look in your concordance sometime. You know, do your own study on what the Bible says about the importance of prayer, as well as how much Jesus prayed. And so, do we exhibit patience. This week, let's really try to produce this aspect of the fruit of the Spirit. We need patience with ourselves, with our fellow Christians, with non-Christians, and in our difficult circumstances. See, it's not easy, but with the Lord's help, I know that we can do it.